grateful that you could be here with us this morning. We pray that while you're here, you feel welcome, but we also pray that you see a group of God's people trying to follow God's word. That's all we strive to do here. We'll talk a little bit about some of that this morning and what it is to be the church of God's people and our attitudes towards the church of God's people. But we just are so thankful for all the people that chose to be here this morning. A couple things before we begin. This evening we start new Bible classes. We're already in our second quarter this year. You'll see on the front of your bulletins a little write-up on each of those classes and what's being offered and who's teaching. So take some time this afternoon and just look over that bulletin and think about where you'd like to spend the next couple months studying. We focused in the New Testament this last quarter. We'll be in the Old Testament this next quarter. And so we invite you, if you haven't been attending Bible classes, this would be a great time to start and start this new quarter off fresh. This morning, after the sermon and after the service, Tommy's going to get up and say a few words. And so we're going to have just a little bit shorter of a sermon so that we can give Tommy a couple minutes and say a few things. He does this about once a year. This is for the benefit of the members here on the finances and just where we are as a group of God's people. And so we'll have that just this morning after the sermon and after the service. If you're like me, I've got a big problem, and I'm sure that all of you have this same problem. And what that problem is my attitude. There are just certain things that rub me the wrong way. We call those pet peeves, right? We all have them. We all have something that, or maybe it's someone, that when they say something or when something is done or said a certain way or whatever it is, we get irritated. And we have a little bit of an attitude on certain things. I made a joke this morning at the manor that my attitude starts about the time I wake up and it goes away by about the eighth cup of coffee. And some of you can relate to that. But we have attitudes about all sorts of different things. We have good attitudes when it comes to something maybe we want to do or something we like. We get excited about doing something because it's a hobby or because it's someone that we like to serve or we like to be with. We have good attitudes, but we also have the bad attitudes that come along with it. And when we look at our theme this year of service, and especially that song we just sang that Landy led just a moment ago, A Beautiful Life. If you were here last Sunday night, we had a whole lesson just on the lyrics of that song. And if you weren't here, we invite you to listen to that song. It should be online. But every verse that we sang in that song had something to do with serving somebody else. Doing golden deeds, helping a traveler with his load, helping us, being a servant. And sometimes when we're asked to serve, it's just not done with a good attitude. I know there's been several times where I've been asked to do something and my attitude might not have been the best. I remember growing up, every time my brothers and I were some of the only younger men in our congregation, and we were always asked to move chairs or to move tables or if something was being done at the church building. You know, we wanted the young men. And I remember telling, and I think David and I felt the same way, I remember telling Dad, it says, it seems like all we're good for is just moving stuff around here, right? And it wasn't the right attitude. And sometimes we all get that way. How can we fix that? You know, I came across a quote this week, and I wasn't planning on preaching on this, but this quote kind of hit me. Because it goes right along with our service of what we're trying to accomplish this year as a congregation and serving God and serving God's people. But I want to just look at this idea of loving our church and what it means to love my church. But see, there's a problem in churches today, and this goes much farther beyond just Marion Street Church of Christ or the Church of Christ in general. This goes into, I would say, almost every church, every denomination. And that is this. One of the biggest problems plaguing churches today is the problem of our attitudes. And that made me think. And it made me just start thinking about how we all have one, good or bad. We all have an attitude toward what goes on at church and what goes on in church. There's always something we don't like. There's always going to be something that probably could be done better. And there's always probably going to be people maybe we don't get along with, because that's just what happens with people. There might be sermons we don't like, classes we don't like, and when things don't go our way, we tend to get upset. We let other people know about it. Arguments happen, and look what's happened over the years. The one church that's read about in the book of Acts in chapter 2 has become what we see today, where there's thousands and thousands of different denominations and thousands and thousands of churches within all those thousands of denominations. And you go back and start looking at what happened. What happened to the one church that we see in the book of Acts? And I think at the very base level of what we see happening is people and people's attitudes. It's also not uncommon in a conversation for a certain church to come up. And the first thing that's mentioned as soon as you hear a church name is all the problems. All the problems that they've had or they maybe currently are having. Or sometimes a certain person comes up in a conversation. And what we like to do is we like to focus on all the negative and the things we don't like about them and the things that they've done in the past and all this history. And all this does is it causes more and more problems in churches and relationships that we're supposed to have with God's people. And one of the biggest problems that's plaguing churches today is the problem of attitudes. But I want to make one thing very clear, that this isn't a problem that's unique to us today. This is not a problem that just the Christians in 2017 are having today. But listen to what Paul says in the book of Philippians in chapter 2. Because he has to remind the Philippian church about something. And what he was reminding them about was their attitudes. He says in Philippians chapter 2, you may have it in your Bible. I want you to follow along. If you don't have your Bible, I want you to focus on the screen. He says, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. That tells me something. That the problem of attitudes in the church started way back in the first century. Because when you get people, and you get lots of people together, what happens is you have a lot of different opinions and a lot of different attitudes, and sometimes they don't mix very well. And so what starts happening is, I don't like the way this is going. And I don't like the decisions the elders are making. And I don't like the way this person said this. And I don't like how I was treated. And so what happens is we start complaining. And we start disputing. And so Paul had to put a stop to it in the Philippian church. He says you need to do all things without complaining and disputing. But there's a reason for that. And he lists the reasons. He says, because you need to be blameless and harmless. And when we don't complain and dispute and we have a good attitude, he says, you become children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. In other words, he's saying, if everybody else wants to complain and grumble and have the bad attitudes that we see, he says, let them. It's a crooked and perverse generation that we live in. He says, but you and I, as followers of God, or as children of God, as he puts it here in chapter 2, he says, we don't act like that. We put those things behind us. He says, we're going to do all things, without complaining or disputing. This is something that Brooke and I, we're not quite there with Eli. We will get there with him because he is a child and he's a boy and he will get into his fair share of complaining and disputing. But when Landon kind of became of that age where we saw the complaining starting to happen, Brooke had this great idea of writing this verse down on a card. And every time we heard a little complaint, we said, Landon, now remember, we do, and we showed him the card, we do all things without grumbling and complaining. To the point where he could quote it back to us. And we said, Landon, remember, when we heard the complaining starting, we said, Landon, remember what we do. We do all things, and he says, without grumbling or complaining. Some of your versions might say questioning, and maybe that's a teen card that you could write for your teens, right? But it got to the point where Landon, I think he was about 3, he could quote back, we do all things. And that's all we would have to say. Do all things, Landon, without complaining or questioning. And sometimes I think adults, sometimes I think we need that reminder. The question is, how do we change things? How do we take the step forward to say, you know what, today I'm gonna be better. Today I'm going to do all things without complaining or disputing. Today I want to become the child of God that is without fault. Which tells me if we are grumbling and complaining and disputing, we're at fault. That's something I think we can get from what Paul says there. Because when we're not doing those things, he says that's when we become without fault in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation, because we need to let our light shine in the world. And that might sound so simple, but how do we take that step to be that light of the world? And how do we change things? And how do we fix the problems? How do we stop focusing on the negative and the problems and start focusing on the good and the positive? You know, there's a saying that has nothing to do with church. And I don't know where the saying originated. I don't know who the first person is to ever say this, but it's very popular, and you could probably attribute it to lots of different people. But it goes something like this. It says, be the change you want to see in the world. And you know, we throw that out there for society, and we see the way society is going, and we see the way that we don't like how society is ending up, and so we tell, especially young people, will you go be the change you want to see in the world? But what if we attributed that to the church? Be the change we want to see in the church. Now, I'm not talking about changing God's word. I want to make that point very clear. But I'm talking about if we see something going on that's not supposed to be going on, or if we see an attitude that's popping up in myself that's not supposed to be there, the only person that can fix it is me. I have to be the change that I want to see. And how do we do that? The first thing we need to do is we need to understand, when I say I love my church, because that's what we're going to focus on this morning. How do we love the church? And how do we change that attitude into something of love and positivity? We have to first ask ourselves, what is the church? And when I say I love my church, you saw the title of the sermon. It's there on the PowerPoint. When I say I love my church, by my church, I want to make a point very clear. It's not my church. And we'll get to what I think my church means in a second to most people. But at the very beginning, the church is the church that Christ built. Christ would say in the book of Matthew chapter 16, upon this rock, that's the confession that he is the Son of God, upon this rock I will build my church. The church belongs to Christ and no one else. It's not my church. I didn't die for it. And you've probably heard that and said that before. We didn't die for it. It is not my church. And so I want to make that point very clear. However, when we become baptized believers, we become part of the unified body. We all become part of the unified body of Jesus Christ. So when I say my church, I mean the body we belong to, the body of believers. But what is my church? The church that you and I are a part of, that body that you and I are a part of, is every individual that makes up the saved body of Christ. I remember I was studying with Marty Pickup, and I was an intern with Marty Pickup down in Florida for quite some time. And he asked me a simple question: what is the church? And if we were to answer that, most people would just say the church is the people. And you would be right. But when you really get down to what is the church is not just the people. The church is the unified body of the people who have been saved by Jesus Christ. That means the church that you and I belong to goes much farther than the walls of Marion Street. The church that I belong to is every Christian, saved believer of Jesus Christ in Limestone County, in Alabama, in the United States, and all over the world, who is a saved believer. And there are times when we disagree with brethren. And there are times when we don't get along. And there are times when people split and they give up. But how different do you think things would be if we simply just loved the church? If we just loved the saved body of believers. Doesn't matter what name is on the side of the church building. If it's Marion Street, Market Street, East Side, North Side, West Side, South Side, whatever other side we can have here in Limestone County. But they're brothers and sisters, saved members of the body. Wouldn't it be great if when we look at Philippians 2, we could say there's no grumbling or complaining. There's just love because we're children of God. My church is also the local body of believers you worship with. We see all over the New Testament that as the church grew and grew, they would break off into smaller groups. We have letters to the smaller groups, the church at Philippi, the church at Corinth, the church at Ephesus. We have the church at Marion Street. We have the churches all over this, and that's our church too. Because we're a group of believers, saved members of Jesus Christ. What I want to look at, the attitude of loving our church. Loving Christ's church and what that means to us. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs, chapter 17, has one verse that I want us to look at in light of some of the points that are going to appear on the screen next. In Proverbs chapter 17, as Solomon is writing all this advice to his son, he gives him a piece of advice on his attitude. And here's what he says. And again, if you don't have your Bibles, I want you to see it on the screen. If you have your Bibles, I want you to be there, highlight it, underline this, whatever you have to do to remember this verse. But notice what he says in Proverbs 17, verse 22. He says, "A joyful heart." Some of your versions might say, "A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones." What he's talking about here is an attitude. Our heart and our spirit, who we are, how we act, what we stand for. And he says a joyful heart, a merry heart. If I can intersect some words in there, a good attitude does good like medicine. You know, when you're sick, we go to the doctor. The doctor gives us medicine. He says, what's the medicine for a bad attitude or a bad day or whatever it is? A good heart. I don't think there's any coincidence that we have verses in the Bible and they're on the back wall as you walk in those two doors. We said, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Joyful. Have a good attitude because this is the day the Lord has made. And so let's enjoy it and let's be glad with it. David says in the book of Psalms, he says, "I was glad when they said to me, let us enter into the house of the Lord." And we bring that verse all the time into New Testament Christianity and say we should be glad when we come to the church building. We should be glad when we come to worship with other Christians. This church, we should be glad when we're with God's people. Not complaining or grumbling or questioning, but glad and happy. There's no coincidence as we look through all the scriptures. The idea of joy and peace and unity comes out time and time again. And sometimes we just need a reminder of the joy that we have in the Lord's church. It is good to be with God's people. But how many of us can say that we love our church? What I mean by that is, can we say, I love my God and Savior? When Jesus was questioned what the greatest two commands were, it was love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. That was the first command, the greatest command. Followed by, we'll get to this one in a minute, love your neighbor as yourself. When Jesus was questioned in the book of Luke, chapter 10, by a lawyer who said, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says, what's your reading of the law? And the answer the lawyer gave was two things, love your God and love your neighbor. That's the key to eternal life, to love your God. Now, I don't think any of us are here this morning with a hatred for God. Maybe you have questions, and some people do that, and if you have questions, come talk to me. But most people here this morning would say, I love God. That's why we're here, to worship, to remember the love and sacrifice He had for us. We love God. We love our Savior. We love what they've done for us. But here's where it gets hard. If I'm going to say I love my church, what that means is we don't just love God. We don't just love our Savior and what they've done for us. That means I love my brethren. Here's where things get a little harder. Because as I said at the very beginning, with brethren comes problems. With brethren comes attitudes. With brethren comes opinions. But if we love God, we're going to love our neighbor. We're going to love our brethren. And that's all brethren. Not just the ones that love us, not just the ones at Marion Street Church of Christ. But we're going to love all of God's people. I want you to notice something, what Jesus says in the book of John chapter 13. Again, turn with me there to John chapter 13. And notice what He tells His apostles. Jesus is about ready to leave, and He's leaving His apostles with some last-minute reminders on how to act, on how to treat each other, on what to do when He leaves. And look at what He says to His apostles in John 13, starting in verse 34. He says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another." But this, the kicker is in verse 35. "By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Isn't that interesting? Jesus says, here's how people are going to know you're a follower of me, if you love one another. Here's how people are going to know that you, as we would put it today, a Christian, a follower of Christ, a disciple of Christ. Here's how people are going to know if you love one another. And I think we can conclude from that, from what we read in Philippians chapter 2, that if we're grumbling and complaining and there's the bad attitude towards the people and towards the church and towards God, I think we can conclude the opposite is also true. People will know that we're not a follower of Christ if we don't love one another. Now, I want you to think about something for just a second. I mentioned earlier, and I can't tell you how many times it's happened to me. And I want to preface this at the very beginning. It's not just this area. It's nationwide. I can't tell you how many times as I'm talking with people and I bring up a church name, and I'm not going to name any churches. And the first thing that is said is, "We don't get along with them." That's a nationwide, and I would probably even say a worldwide problem. We don't get along with them. But they're our brethren. "Well, yeah, I mean, they're God-saved people too, and so am I, but we just don't get along with them." What if we were talking to an outsider that wasn't part of the Lord's saved body? And as we're talking about other people, we say, "We don't get along with them, we don't get along with them, we don't get along with them, and I will never step foot in that church building, I'm never going to go there." Are they going to know that we are followers of Christ with that attitude? Jesus says, "By this they'll know that you are disciples, my disciples, if you have love for one another." It's unfortunate that so many times we focus on the negative. But I wonder how different things would be if no matter the past and no matter the problems, we could simply say, "I know that group of people. They're trying to get to heaven just like me." Because if our attitude towards them is, "I don't like them," well, something's going to happen one day when we enter into heaven. If we're not getting along with our brethren, heaven is a place where everyone's going to get along because we love each other and we love God. And at the end of the day, if we're not getting along with our brethren now, something's going to happen. And that is either they're in heaven and I'm not, I'm in heaven and they're not, or none of us will be there. Because there's no grumbling and complaining in heaven. There's going to be rejoicing and singing and love. Can we say that I love my brother? Can we say that I love my local body? Sometimes there are things that a local church does or does not do that may be frustrating. The preacher may not preach how you like. The elders might make a decision that we don't agree with. The classes might not be topics we prefer. The activities provided are lacking or aren't the ones that we want. But can we say that we love this church? I want to say something. I love this church. And by this church, I mean the broad sense of God's people. But for those members here, I want to say I love this church. I love each person here because Christ loves you. Because we should all want to be in heaven together. I love the stand for truth that this church makes on a daily basis. I love that we have shepherds who have sacrificed time and maybe relationships with different people for taking a stand for what God wants. I love that we have shepherds that study on what a shepherd is so that they can be better. I love that we have deacons who serve. I love that we have deacons that have, again, sacrificed time and effort and relationships to serve God and serve His people. I love that we have older members who have been through the fires and the trials of life that we can learn from. I love that we have grandparents who are active in their grandkids' lives, trying to teach them the gospel. I love that we have parents, young and old. We have parents of this group here that make sure they're here. We have parents of young kids sitting in the back who probably don't get to hear the lesson very much or get to sing the songs because they're wrestling with their kids. Who probably wake up and say, it's easier to stay home because I don't want to wrestle for an hour and a half at church. But I love that they're still here, teaching, being an example. I love that we have this group here, our middle school and high school, that want to be here, that want to be together, that want to serve God. I love that we have a group of kids that will gather up here on the first row every Sunday night, sing songs, ask questions, answer questions when they're asked. We have a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot that we can love. Now the question is, if we look at Philippians 2, are we going to let that love go be a light into this world? That when someone asks us about where I go to church, we say, I'm a child of God. First and foremost, we're children of God. We've been saved by the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. But we go to a church that loves God and that loves His people and will love you too. Wouldn't that be great? If that was our attitude, to say, I love my church. Not just Marion Street Church of Christ. But I love God's people, and I love heaven, and I want to be there with all of them someday. Christ loved His church. You know, when we look at the personal relationships we have in life, Ephesians chapter 5 talks about the marriage of the husband and the wife. We say the husband should love his wife as Christ loved the church. Christ loved this church, and Christ died for us, and He sacrificed Himself for us, and He gave up everything for us. And He did it all while we were still sinners, while we were still evil people. But notice one thing. He never focused on the negative. And I often have to ask myself, what if He had an attitude about having to die for us? What if Jesus had an attitude and He gave lip back to God and said, I don't get it. These people are sinners and they don't deserve it. What if He complained the entire time He was here? What if His teachings consisted of, y'all don't deserve this, but I'm going to teach you a lesson here on what I'm about to do for you. And you better be grateful for it when I do what I'm about to do. I think things would be very different. But instead, what we see is a Savior who loved, who cared for, and sacrificed Himself for the people. He served when He had every right to be served because He loved us. This week, what I want us to do is every morning when we wake up, I want us to look at Proverbs 17, verse 22. Write it on a card, highlight it in your Bible. If you do a morning Bible reading, I want you to open up to that page first. It's one verse. And just say, today I'm going to have a joyful heart. Today I'm going to be the medicine in this world. Because the bad spirit or the bad attitude leads to dry bones. I don't think any of us want dry bones. But let's go be the medicine. Let's wake up every day having the heart that Jesus wants us to have. If this morning you find yourself in a position where you say, you know what? Today's the day I'm going to give my life to Christ. Today's the day I'm going to start brand new. I'm going to give my life up to Him. I'm going to be buried in the waters of baptism. And I want to go be the light to the world. I want to be added to that body of local believers, or not local, but the broad body of believers that is all over this world that has believed in Jesus, repented of their sins, and been buried in the waters of baptism. Now is your opportunity to do just that. And come see what it means to be a light to this world and an example to all those around you, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. It is one of the toughest, but one of the best decisions you can ever make. If you need to do that this morning, don't wait a moment longer. Come forward as we stand and as we sing.